place is you hear the conversation. And sometimes people will say, well, that's just noise. No, that's friends reconnecting. That's people strengthening relationships. That's people sharing their lives together and reminding us that we're all part of a larger family. You know, sometimes we need to come back together to reconnect and recognize where our roots are and where our hope really lies. And so I hope this morning as you've come that you experience God's presence in your life, that maybe you are awakened to a deeper reality that God is moving in our world and in your life, and that you have a role to play in the events that transpire in our community and in the lives of others, and that you recognize how important you are to God personally and how much He has already done. As we mentioned kind of this morning, as people were sharing their praises and their concerns, we recognize that this is a week of kind of transition for many families. Some families will be sending their kids off to school, perhaps for the very first time, and for many, this will be just another day in a series of years of going through high school and college. But we also recognize that almost as a society and as a culture, because it marks kind of the transition, the end of the summer season. The vacations have kind of come to an end, and we now get into the routine of going to school and back to the routine of fall and autumn. And we recognize that we're coming on autumn, which is the time of the harvest. And so it seemed appropriate for me at this point that as we think about the transition of our own lives, we think about Jesus speaking to the people that he was talking to in Judea and in Samaria and in the region of Galilee. So as we listen to his words this morning, let us recognize that he's talking to people that are in the midst of life transition. And I hope that as he speaks this morning that you will hear it in your own context and recognize that Jesus is challenging us as well to reconsider our life and the direction that we are taking. See, as we come this morning, let us recognize that God has a purpose for our lives. Our lives are not just a series of unconnected events, but that God is using us and are trying to awaken us to the infinite possibilities that our lives can have and the ultimate eternal destiny to which we are all traveling. Let us recognize that God uses people just like us for some very extraordinary purposes. Would you join with me in reading what is on the screen at this time? This is God's word for my life, in this place and at this time. Today I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Claim that truth for your very own. Jesus, when he was speaking to the people that had gathered, he said, "Everyone who hears my words and obeys them is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. It rained hard, and the floods came, and the winds blew and hit that house. But it did not fall, because it was built on rock. Everyone who hears my words and does not obey them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. It rained hard, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it hit the house. And it fell with a big crash." When Jesus finished saying these things, the people were amazed at his teachings because he did not teach like their teachers of the law. He taught like a person who had authority. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, we have drawn aside from the busyness of our lives into this quiet place, that you would move within our hearts, that you would stir once again a longing to be a people that are set apart. But Father, we have been set apart for a great mission, for we hold within ourselves the truth of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection on our behalf. And so teach us now, Lord, and awaken us to your Spirit as it moves and flows within us. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story about a man who was talking to a reporter, and he was showing a picture of his house. And as he was showing the picture of the house, it was a very typical kind of a house. It was a house that had the white picket fence, the two-car garage, a house, a dog in the front yard, a manicured lawn, everything that you could imagine. It was kind of that Brady Bunch kind of an image of what his life had become. And he said, "This is the house that I had worked for. This is the house that I had saved for. And this is the house that I built with my own two hands." And then the camera panned back. And as he panned back, and behind the man stood his house. The only difference now was that the roof was laying over in his neighbor's yard. The sides of the house had been blown in. The windows were smashed out. And all across his beautiful manicured lawn was debris of all kinds. Insulation and plywood and roofing shingles everywhere. It was as if a bomb had gone off. And in fact, it actually had. Because at that time, it was the story of how Hurricane Andrew had blown through that part of Florida. And how that dream that he had created for himself on that image of that photograph had been blown away and had been strewn all over. And it was left in ruins. And he went on to tell about how he said, I did not realize that when they were building my house, that the builder just put in nails almost anywhere in order to get it done quickly. He hadn't really even attached the roof to the rafters. They were not nailed down as appropriate. And he said, but we never realized how poorly our house was constructed until the winds came and they blew against their house. And now, he says, it is too late. We must begin again. See, we stand today on a kind of a transition in our lives. We may not really recognize it because we go through it so frequently, but we are at a transition because we are at that point where we transition from summer. When we believe that our lives are all about vacations and barbecues and family get-togethers and reunions and time for relaxing, and truly it is. But we transition from a time of autumn, which is a time of harvest, and a time to reap what you have sown, and a time when we evaluate the direction of our lives. And so as we stand at this life transition, we want to hear Jesus' words to us. You see, sometimes when you talk to kids and you say, it's time to go back to school, you get that inevitable groan. And they said, I've got to go back to eighth grade algebra. Why do I need to know eighth grade algebra? And as a good and wise father, I always say the same thing. Go ask your mother. But what we're really all about is letting them know that they're building a life. That sometimes we don't always open up our eighth grade algebra book, but that we're always thinking about algebra. About approaching a light stop. It's just something that happens to us because it becomes part of us. It is another, if you will, it is another stick in the framework that we are building. It is a part of our life. And we are encouraging our young people to begin to build that life for themselves. Well, Jesus understood that all of us are, at different times in our lives, are in a life transition. That our lives are transforming and are changing. And as Christians, we embrace that sense of change, and we are looking forward to creating for ourselves a life of significance. Not a life that just survives, and not just a life that exists, but a life of significance, of meaning, something that will last. And so he tells them this parable. And he tells them the parable about somebody that is building a house and about the foundation of that house. But see, the funny thing about what Jesus is telling us is he does not say that the words that I am sharing with you are something that you can add on to your life, to give your life additional significance, to increase your standard of living. He says, my words are the very foundation on which you are to evaluate and to build your very existence. And as we look at his words this morning, I want to consider, how are we building our house? How are we transforming our lives? And what are we building for ourselves? How many of you recognize or remember that age-old story of the three little pigs? Is there anybody that has, will anybody admit to never hearing of the three little pigs? You see, sometimes we think of that as just a children's story, and we don't even think about its implications for our lives. But its implications this morning, particularly in light of Jesus' words, are very significant. You see, the three little pigs always are warning us that there is truly a big bad wolf that is out there looming. that is looking for someone or something to devour, that is looking for how are you living your life, and whether the framework that you are constructing for yourself is something that is easily blown away. And so the story tells us of three little pigs that built different kinds of houses. And so this morning, as we think about the house that we're building, I want you to recognize that in Jesus' words, he says, you are all, at some point, you're all, even currently today, building a house. You are currently building a life. Every day either becomes a piece of brick, a stick, or a piece of straw in the house that you are building. And he says, pay attention to what kind of life you are building. Are you building a house made of straw? A house of little consequence? You don't even remember those kind of days. Those days pass by and they're remembered no more. That you look back and you say, what did I do last month? And you say, I don't have any recollection of doing anything significant last month. They're days of straw that are quickly blown away, and they're of little value, and they support nothing. Are you building a life that is simply going to be blown away, that has no structure and no substance, especially when the wolf comes and it is tested by the winds that will blow? Now, some of us actually go ahead and we build a house of sticks, of strong lumber, of routine and of schedules and of events and of to-do lists. Of all of the things that we have accomplished, we can line up and say, I am working harder now than I ever have before. But all of those accomplishments are things that are just part of a to-do list. They are a framework on which to build, but they really don't have the strength when the wolf comes. Now, some of you may be sitting there thinking, the wolf will never come. But sometimes the wolf comes in different kinds of clothing, and it reminds us of things like depression, cancer, job loss, financial ruin, worry, relationships that are broken, and the wolf begins to blow on the house and the life that you have built. And so Jesus reminds us that we need to be building our house made of stone, of cornerstones, of significance, of a life based on the truth of what Jesus is trying to tell us. So in his parable, he reminds us, you are building a house. Don't deny that you are building a life, and every day is an additional stone. But then he goes on to say, not only are you building a house, it is a house that you will have to live in. It is a house that you will be part of you, who you are in your last days. There's a story that I heard some time ago about a contractor who had built a huge business building houses. And he had a foreman that he thought very highly of. And so he went to the foreman and he said, I'm going to be gone for about 3 months. And I'm leaving you the plans and all of the money necessary to build a big house. And when I come back, I want that house built and ready to sell. And so he left. And the foreman said, well, this is my opportunity to get a little bit of extra cash in my pocket. And so he began to cut all the kind of corners. He didn't spend as much as he should on the roofing, and he cut down on the number of nails, and the plumbing was substandard, and the electrical was the cheapest that he could find, and he didn't even really put much down on the flooring, and so that the whole building creaked. And when the builder came back and he looked and he saw the outside and he said, it's beautiful on the outside. And he said, I am so pleased with the work that you have done. He said, I want you to know that I'm getting out of the business. I'm retiring, and I've thought so much of you that I'm giving you this house to live in for the rest of your life. Here are the keys. Enjoy what you have built for yourself. It looks good from the outside, but when the winds come and the rains fall, will it continue to stand the test of time? You see, we all have to live. See, one of the things that I'm always kind of surprised by is that people will come in and they'll say, I am in such a chaotic state. My life is a mess. I don't know why everybody is against me. My boss is against me. My family is against me. The people that I live around, my community, either the person that I rent from or the people that are around me, everybody is out to get me. Not recognizing that a lot of the actions that you have already done are creating the house in which you live. The circumstances that are facing you even today are things that you have, in many cases, brought upon yourself. So that the house that you build will be the house that you must live in. But perhaps the one that we need to think of the most is the one that Jesus puts in at the end, that the rains came. He doesn't say that the rains might come, or that if you're lucky, the rains will stay away and God will blow all of those rain clouds away. He said, each of our houses will be tested for their worthiness. They will be shaken to their very foundation. They will be challenged as to what they're about and what your life is about. And at some point in your life, you will be challenged about who you are and what the meaning of your life is about, and you will be shaken to your very core. Jesus says, when that time comes and everything else is turned away or tossed aside, what foundation will you have built on? Will it be a house of straw, a house of ease and leisure to do the easy things first? Will it be a house of sticks that is dominated by routine and schedules and agendas? Or will it be based on the cornerstone that other builders have rejected, the firm foundation? In your life today, as we send some kids to school to begin building a life, what kind of life, spiritual life, are you building for yourself? And what kind of life are you encouraging others to build for themselves? I want to share with you a couple of things that I think Jesus, through the scriptures, invites us to begin to build. He says the first thing that we need to really build is have the right materials. We need to have wisdom. You see, wisdom is a combination of both knowledge and experience that is applied to application. Learn from those that have gone before you. Learn what the foundation is about. You see, Jesus tells us very simply, those that hear my words and apply them are wise. Those that hear my words and do not follow through will be the ones that will be destroyed. See, it isn't enough for you to come and hear a good message or for you to hear the scriptures read to you. Jesus says, those that obey what I am trying to share with you, when the winds come, they will be able to stand. How much wisdom do we apply of God's teaching to our lives, to our everyday experiences, to our jobs and our families and our places where we work, to the neighbors that we live with? How much wisdom is in your life and in the direction that you have for tomorrow? The next thing that we need to be focused on are the materials that we build with. Jesus says that I am the cornerstone that the builders have rejected. Is your life based on the truth of who God is? You see, I believe that deep down inside, that we are all of infinite worth to God on an eternal destiny. But we live as if today or tomorrow is all that there is. When you look forward, when you look to your life at the end of your days, and you look back, what kind of framework, what kind of house will you have built for yourself? Will it be one that you will be proud of, and one that will stand the test of time? Or will it be one that will be toppled, and all you'll be able to do is hold up a picture and say, I once did something. I once had a beautiful lawn and a beautiful car, and I had all these things at one time. What will your framework be? What materials, source of materials, are you building with? And finally, we need to have that resolve to follow through. You see, sometimes building a house can be hard work. We make mistakes. We tear walls out, and we start all over again. And sometimes we want to give up and just sit down and say, this is all that I'll ever be. But God is a gracious God. And Jesus, thanks be to God, is a good carpenter. And so he comes and he shows us how to reconstruct our lives, how to rebuild our lives. And so if you this morning are willing to let go and begin building the life that you have, that God wants for you to have, then I invite you to get more involved. Begin to learn what Jesus has in store for you. Get involved with others. Learn from them. Allow them to participate in the journey of your own faith and begin to discover for yourself, are you building a life that will last? Jesus tells us that we're all building something, that you'll have to live in what you've constructed for yourself. But whatever you've constructed will be tested. Are you ready for that test? Are you ready to hear God speak to your life and begin to remold and rebuild? Jesus offers us this parable, and at the very end, it says that all those that heard him were amazed because he spoke as one with authority. It's as if he says, I've been there. I know, because in heaven I have seen countless lives destroyed because people were not ready for the winds that will eventually come. After Hurricane Andrew, somebody got on the news from the state of Florida, and they said, you know, we were all ready and we were prepared for winds in excess of 130 miles an hour. We were prepared for the little bumps. But then the weatherman got on and he said, well, you know, the winds were actually in excess of 160 miles an hour. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine winds in excess of 160 miles an hour. And he said, in some places there were gusts in excess of 200 miles an hour. Now, when you are faced with that kind of disaster, when I hear stories about the hurricane that is circling over Florida where there's 27 inches of rain in one place, I have to say, are we ready? Are we ready for those kind of disasters? Do we have the foundation that is ready to stand against the disasters that will test our mettle and our very core? The church is a place to come together, to begin to nurture, to begin to inspire, and to begin to lift each other up as we build the life of significance and of lasting purpose. Let us pray. Father God, we are so blessed to be here this morning and to begin to learn from you and to evaluate our own lives in light of your grace. We just pray, Father, that you use us this morning as we consider all of the gifts that you have given to us. Help us, Father, to step out and see ourselves as you see us.